suggested state budget cuts would close the local state forestry office. And the Haines School looks at some changes to its calendar for next year. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Marga Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. This week, a House Finance Subcommittee is examining the Department of Natural Resources budget. The committee is considering reducing the timber sale program and closing offices in Southeast. Closing the Haines office would mean eliminating the two forester positions here. The cuts are still a long way off. Right now, they are just being considered at the subcommittee level.
So I don't know what the prospects are, but certainly I'm concerned.
That's Haines forester Roy Josephson. The cuts would nix a total of 13 state forestry jobs and 10 student intern positions, he says. It would close offices in Haines, Ketchikan, and Juneau. Josephson wrote a letter to the Haines borough manager and mayor saying the closure of the Haines office would have a wider impact than just the lost jobs. It would mean timber and firewood sales would stop. Locally, that could impact at least a half dozen business owners, like firewood cutters. It may not affect residents who collect dead and down trees, if they can still access that lumber. Foresters also maintain roads through the state forest for wood gathering, berry picking, hunting, fishing, and other recreation.
We're responsible for road maintenance, so if the road washed out or as roads close, somebody would need to keep those open, and then we wouldn't be here to do that.
Josephson and fellow forester Greg Palmieri are also responsible for wildfire response in the Northern Lynn Canal.
Most of that we do through cooperative agreements with the volunteer fire departments, but we also do wildland red card fire training through the VFDs for those fires that are off the road system.
Josephson says that having a local forestry office allows Chilkat Valley residents to be directly involved with the management of the Haines State Forest.
You know, most of Southeast is the Tongass, and it's managed by the federal government. So this is, I guess, more locally surrounded or locally owned. You know, it's just for the benefit of the people of the state, not the people of the nation.
The Haines Forestry Office has been in operation since the 1960s. Josephson says he's worked in the forestry department for 30 years and Palmieri for more than 20. Haines Borough Manager Dave Sosa says the borough is reaching out to legislators about the proposed cuts. Students might get out of school early each Thursday next year if a proposed calendar is approved. That was one discussion topic at the Haines School Board meeting Tuesday night. KHNS's Emily Files reports.
School board members looked at the proposed calendar for next school year. One of the big changes would be an early release day on Thursday. Students would get out of school at 1:30, and the other 4 days of the week would be slightly extended. This would eliminate teacher in-service days during the school year. Staff would be able to use the weekly afternoon time for their professional development trainings and meetings. Here's teacher Lisa Andreessen.
I think it's just going to be so powerful to have these kind of mini in-services every week. I think we're just going to get so much more done. It's just going to be so good and powerful.
Some of the school board members questioned why the early release day couldn't be on Friday. Because of travel for sports and other activities, less students tend to be in school on Fridays. Here's Andreessen.
Friday is not going to be our most effective thinking time. If we want to really optimize this time, we want to do it at a time when the most staff feels like they're going to be most effective. And I think that was a real driving force.
The school board decided not to make any changes to the calendar until they received public input. They voted to move it into the 30-day public comment period. The board heard from Superintendent Ginger Jewell about three new positions she wants to hire for. Two of the positions, a special education director and a technology specialist, could be mostly grant funded. The other position is an elementary science and math teacher. Jewell didn't include job descriptions or projected expenses in the board packet, and board members said they couldn't make a decision without that information. Here's Lisa Schwartz.
We've asked over and over for a very clear, transparent budget, and it's really important that we see what we're making decisions about. We just really need to be clear about where money's coming from. There's a lot of cuts going on in the state, there's right. cuts going on locally. So we need to really scrutinize what we're doing as far as what we can pay for and what we can't.
Jewell said she would provide that information at a Thursday budget workshop. the board tentatively approved funds for two staff members to travel to a teacher recruitment fair in Portland in April. Right now, the school is advertising for several open positions. Jewel listed them.
We have a secondary special education, reading specialist, 5 through 12 music, sixth grade.
And counselor.
And the counselor's position. That's what we have right now.
Jewel says the district might need to actively recruit in order to get high-quality applicants for those jobs. The board decided not to vote on reopening Mosquito Lake School since there aren't enough students. The school closed last year because enrollment dropped below 10, which disqualified it from state funding. A group of Upper Highway residents called Friends of Mosquito Lake School and Community Center announced late last month that they weren't able to find 10 students interested in attending the school this year. Friends of Mosquito Lake member Dana Hallett spoke at the meeting.
We need to do something to preserve that facility in the community. We don't need to just give it up, turn the heat off, and walk away from it.
The group is working on a proposal to ask the Haynesboro for funds to open the school building for community use. After some discussion, the school board decided to write a general letter of support that could be included in the proposal. School board member Brian Clay volunteered to be a liaison to Friends of Mosquito Lake as they work on strategies to reopen the school. The next school board meeting is scheduled for April 7th. There's a budget workshop this Thursday at 7 p.m. In Haynes, I'm Emily Files.
The Alaska Board of Fisheries on Monday took up a pair of proposals to reshape the king salmon troll season in Southeast Alaska. As KCAW's Rachel Waldholtz reports, they rejected one and adopted the other.
Proposal 223 from Sitka troller John Murray would have shifted some of the harvest to later in the summer. The king salmon summer troll season usually has two openings. 70% of the quota is targeted in July, while 30% is reserved for a second opening in August. The proposal would have changed the ratio in higher abundance years to 60% in July and 40% in August. Supporters argued that a longer August opening would give smaller boats a greater shot at the fish, while kings caught later in the season generally fetch a higher price. That last point was backed by an assessment from Patty Scannis of the Department of Fish and Game.
I do have some statistics on the difference in value between July and August based on fish prices, and the value of the fish, the fishery would be estimated to increase approximately 6% if 10% were moved to August from July. So there is likely to be some increase in value.
But critics argued that a shift would upset the status quo hammered out among trollers two decades ago. The board was down to four members during the discussion. John Jensen of Petersburg and Reed Morisky of Fairbanks recused themselves because of family connections to the troll fishery. Acting Chair Tom Kluberton of Talkeetna said he'd heard compelling testimony on both sides of the issue. He said he'd be more willing to upset the existing regime if the proposal came from a wider range of stakeholders.
I would feel so much better adopting something like this if it came in a harmonious concert like that, where the multiple voices came together and said, yep, we've put our minds together and we agree on this, because I see that being just the way, it's how this area does business. So I'm inclined to not support it and try to encourage this area to continue to do business that way.
In the end, the proposal failed by a vote of 2-2 with members Sue Jeffrey and Fritz Johnson in favor. Meanwhile, the board voted 4-0 to approve a proposal from the Alaska Trollers Association to add a third potential summer opening for trollers targeting kings. In the current system, there are sometimes fish left under the treaty quota that governs king salmon after the August opener. But the number is usually small enough that if the department allowed another competitive opening, the fleet would blow past the target. So those fish generally go unharvested. The new regulations allow the department to open the fishery, but limit each permit holder to a set number of fish, potentially as few as 10 apiece. Dale Kelly of the Alaska Trollers Association said that even at low numbers, it would be worth it to mop up any final quota.
So there may still be a few left on the table, but our hope is it will take every fish that we possibly can under the quota. It's really important to get our treaty quota.
That's because king salmon generally make up half the value of the troll fishery each year, Kelly said. And besides, she added, pulling a king salmon over the rail is why you are a troller. In Sitka, I'm Rachel Waldholz.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.